Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in Cairo, where the draws were held for the quarterfinals of Africa's two main club football competitions, the CAF Champions League and the CAF Confederation Cup. First, the Champions League, the continent's top-tier tournament. Defending champion Esperance of Tunisia will take on Zamalek of Egypt. Esperance and Zamalek will also play each other February 14th in the African Super Cup match in Qatar. In the other CAF Champions League quarterfinals, Al Ahly of Egypt, winners of a record 8 African titles, will play 2016 champion Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa. Raja Casablanca of Morocco will meet TP Mazembe of the Democratic Republic of Congo. And another Moroccan club, Wydad Casablanca, is matched against Tunisia's Etoile du Sahel. The first leg of the quarterfinals will be played February 28th and February 29th, with the return legs a week later. Now let's take a look at the draw for the quarterfinals of the CAF Confederation Cup. Zanaco of Zambia will play Pyramids of Egypt. Al Nasser of Libya will meet the Moroccan club Hassania Agadir. Al Masri of Egypt will play RS Berkane of Morocco. And Enyimba of Nigeria is matched against Horoya AC of Guinea. The CAF Confederation Cup quarterfinals are scheduled to begin March 1st with the return legs a week later. The countdown continues for the Tokyo Olympics, the year's biggest international sporting event. We're now 169 days away to the multi-sports jamboree in Japan. 12 teams will compete in the Olympic men's basketball tournament. The United States has dominated both the men's and women's Olympic basketball tournaments. The American men have won medals in all 18 Olympic tournaments they've entered, including 15 gold. Team USA will go to Tokyo, bidding for a fourth consecutive Olympic gold medal. The Tigers of Nigeria will represent Africa in the Olympic men's basketball tournament in Japan. Ahead of the Olympics, the Nigeria Basketball Federation says it has appointed an American with extensive NBA experience to lead the coaching staff of the Tigers for Tokyo 2020. Iron Mike Mbonye reports from Lagos, Nigeria.
Musa Keda is the president of Nigeria Basketball Federation. He says the federation has appointed Golden State Warriors associate coach Mike Brown to train the country's men national basketball team for the Olympic Games. He says former head coach of the team, Alex Nwora, and other assistant coaches will work with coach Mike Brown. He says extra staff were needed to build on the successes recorded by coach Nwora.
So we know also that we would need extra hands to build on the successes that we have had with Alex. And so Alex is still there. He's an associate head coach also on the bench with Mike Brown. But of course, it's no contest that the complementarity that will be between an Alex who knows the African terrain and Mike Brown, who is a tested coach in the NBA, and then with Bicker staff also from the Cleveland Cavaliers. You know, for me, it makes a very, very formidable technical crew.
Keda says coach Mike Brown was chosen because of his passion to develop basketball in Africa and Nigeria.
He has shown passion for the development of sports in Africa, most especially in Nigeria, like I said. He has shown his intention or commitment to go beyond just performing at the Olympics, but also helping Nigeria and bringing up his coaches, having coaching clinics, all with a view that Nigerian basketball is developed even faster.
The Nigerian basketball boss says Coach Mike Brown will assist the federation, convince some Nigerian players in the NBA to play for the country. He says Brown has intimacy with a lot of players in the NBA and is in a better position to make them play for Nigeria. Kida says Brown and Alex Nwora are already working together to prepare a program for a successful outing at the Olympic Games. Coach Mike Brown is expected to arrive Nigeria in April to start work. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Ayo Mike Mbonye in Lagos.
Hi, my name is Musa Kida. I'm the president of the Nigerian Basketball Federation. I'm also the secretary general of Zone 3 FIBA in Africa. I'm also a new member of the FIBA Finance Commission. And I want to say a special shout out to Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you.
A Congolese basketball star has sparked the defending NBA champion Toronto Raptors to their 12th consecutive victory. The AP's John Letherby reports from Toronto, Canada.
Serge Ibaka was the hero for Toronto. His three ball with 30 seconds remaining propelled the Raptors to their franchise-best 12th straight win, 119-118, over the Pacers at Scotiabank Arena. Trailing by as much as 19 in the fourth quarter, the Raptors' defense got the stops they needed to chip away at the Indiana lead before Ibaka's game-winning basket. It capped a 30-point performance for the Toronto center.
Trusting each other, you know, we don't point the fingers when things go bad. You know, we stay together. You know, and I think that's what makes us very special.
Kyle Lowry led all scorers with 32 points. Malcolm Brogdon was the Pacers' high scorer. He finished with 24. John Letherby, Toronto.
Thanks, John. Now let's go to Los Angeles, California, where the Los Angeles Clippers used a record-breaking shooting display to beat the Miami Heat. The AP's Mark Myers reports from Los Angeles.
The Clippers nailed a franchise record 24 three-point baskets en route to a 128-111 win over the Heat. Eight Clippers scored in double figures, led by Paul George and Landry Shamet with 23 points apiece. Shamet made six threes and George had five. L.A. outscored Miami by 20 in the second half. Credit coach Doc Rivers for the halftime adjustment.
It was funny at halftime. They were talking about, well, maybe we should drive more. And I said, no. Maybe you should shoot more. You know, you're wide open, shoot the ball. They'll go in.
Derrick Jones Jr. had 25 points to top the Heat, while teammate Bam Adebayo scored 22. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Mark. Now let's go to Salt Lake City, Utah, where the Serbian center of the Denver Nuggets, Nikola Jokic, became only the 10th player in NBA history to post the following statistics: at least 30 points, at least 20 rebounds, and at least 10 assists. In basketball terminology, that's known as a 30-20-10 triple-double. Well, Jokic tallied 32 points, grabbed 21 rebounds, and passed the ball for 10 assists Wednesday night as the Nuggets beat the host Utah Jazz 98-95. I mentioned on Wednesday's show that Nikola Jokic will make his second NBA All-Star Game appearance on February 16th in Chicago. And with numbers like those, Jokic is certainly deserving to feature in the NBA All-Star Game. Now let's go to Kansas City, Missouri, where thousands of fans packed the downtown area Wednesday to celebrate the Kansas City Chiefs and their first Super Bowl championship in 50 years. The Chiefs charged back in the fourth quarter, scoring three touchdowns to defeat the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday, 31-20 in Super Bowl 54 in Miami, Florida. my VOA colleague Jim Stevenson begins this spicy and super report with Kansas City's star quarterback, who was named the Super Bowl's most valuable player.
You never could imagine what this feels like. I mean, it's surreal to be a Super Bowl champion, to know all the hard work that you put in every single day has paid off.
Quarterback Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs roared from behind to win Super Bowl 54, 31-20 over the San Francisco 49ers, the first National Football League championship for the franchise in 50 years. Coach Andy Reid has worked more than half that time to win his first.
We all know that it's not a one-man show, that it takes a team to get there, and not just the players and not just the coaches, but everybody. So, you know, that's the part you think about when you sit back, all the hard work that everybody's done to get you at this point right here.
Kansas City is the first team to win all of its playoff games coming from behind. Reed says his team never gives up.
We were down by quite a little bit each game, and the guys are resilient. They're mentally tough. They trust each other. They like being around each other. It's a certain energy that they have. And they don't really care if you're up or down. They're going to bear down and win the game. They know that they've got to play four quarters strong and believe in that.
The San Francisco 49ers led 20-10 heading into the final 15 minutes of the game. Chiefs coach Andy Reid started calling all the special plays he had to score 21 unanswered points in the fourth quarter.
Now listen, there's no tomorrow in that game, so that's it. And that's why we went for fourth downs during the season, but if they were close, we're going for them. In this game.
49ers coach Kyle Shanahan said his team couldn't keep up.
You know, they got a lot of plays. You know, we didn't convert those third downs there in the fourth quarter. And when you don't convert those third downs and you don't get an explosive run, you end up getting them too many chances.
Andy Reid went way back to a touchdown play that won Michigan the 1948 Rose Bowl over the University of Southern California.
My brother's high school coach was actually in that game for USC, and so I had a little bit of tape. We went back through and pulled that out. We actually have a whole package of it, so you have to wait till next year to see the rest. But there's some good stuff. Yeah.
Quarterback Patrick Mahomes and his teammates practiced the play endlessly until it finally came time to use it as time was running out in Super Bowl 54.
We kept working on it every single week and kept working on it and executing it and doing it the right way, right, waiting for the perfect time to call it. And when we were there and Coach said it, I was like, it's time, let's do it. And we all spun around, everybody did it the right way. Damian had a great catch on the snap, and then he hit it up the middle. And so I think just that practice, you never know when those plays are going to get called, but you just keep working and try to perfect them every single time you get an opportunity to.
Come from behind wins were the trademark of the Kansas City Chiefs this season, which Patrick Mahomes learned early while playing in high school.
It wasn't my first comeback, but I think the one I always remember was when I won the district championship my senior year. It was the first time we won in a long time. We played John Tyler, which is like a powerhouse in Texas. It's where Earl Campbell went to high school. And we got to beat them, and we had to go down at the end of the game and score a touchdown on the last drive. And I actually ran a touchdown in. And I think just having the mindset of just never giving up has always been instilled in me to go out there and compete until the clocks hit zero. I'm just going to compete to the end no matter what.
San Francisco coach Kyle Shanahan knew to expect Kansas City's sudden and late scoring tendency.
They can score very fast. I mean, that's why their two playoff games, that they're a little cold to start and they were down. And by halftime, they fixed that on both games. And that's how that team is. The team doesn't just do it every single drive, but you know it's a matter of time.
The Kansas City Chiefs were one of the original teams of the old American Football League, which eventually merged with the National Football League and became the American Conference. Kansas City played in the first Super Bowl and finally won the title in Super Bowl IV. Steeped in American professional football history, head coach Andy Reid says today's players have a connection with the original Kansas City Stars.
The Bobby Bells and Willie Lanier's, Lynn Dawson's. I mean, they're the ones that set the foundation for the AFL and also the merger to the NFL. Plus, they support us as ex-players. I mean, they're there for us. And they were feeling it just like we were feeling it. I mean, they were so excited.
The son of founding owner Lamar Hunt keeps the rich tradition close to the current team.
Clark Hunt, he loves to have those guys come back and be a part of it. And so with that, you maintain that history that's so easily lost in this league. Those guys handle it the right way. They don't ask for anything, but they come and they talk to our rookies, and then they're always welcome at practice and the locker room. So we appreciate them.
Chiefs coach Andy Reid says Kansas City will return next season just as strong as this year.
We know we'll be a target, not that we weren't this year. We've got plenty of things that we look forward to installing this next year. We've got a nice long list of good stuff, and we'll keep growing.
And growth means aiming for another Super Bowl title.
That's the goal. You understand how hard it is, though, but at the same time, every single year you get an opportunity, you're trying to go win the championship.
The big game may again include San Francisco, as 49ers coach Kyle Shanahan has many of his players returning.
This shouldn't be a problem. We'll lick our wounds. We'll get over this. We'll be fired up for next year.
To the winners go the spoils, including the shiny platinum Vince Lombardi trophy and an all-night celebration for fans, players, and coach Andy Reid.
Next year, we're coming right back here. One more time, baby. One more time. How about those Chiefs? Hey, hey.
Hey, hey. That's head coach Andy Reid of the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. I love how he says that. Hey, hey. And thanks to my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, for that super Super Bowl report. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to check out Jim's weekly Game Room podcast via voanews.com. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. My VOA colleague Gwen Uten joins us now with more Olympic news. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The Olympic year has finally arrived with less than 6 months to go until the opening ceremony in Tokyo. And as the games draw closer, athletes around the globe are entering their final push to reach peak physical condition in their quest to win Olympic gold. But many athletes in some of the world's poorest countries are forced to push their bodies to the limit without adequate training facilities or proper gear. So last year, the Japanese city of Maebashi decided to host a training camp to help athletes prepare for the upcoming games. South Sudanese long-distance runner Abraham Majok arrived at the camp last November. But he says what he experienced extended far beyond the facility.
What I like best in Japan is just, the way they relate and, the peace they have, the love for each other. You know, since we came here, we have seen a lot of love and we have discovered that Japanese are not like other people. Because when we came here, we didn't expect that much love. Me personally, I was even worried because sometimes you get when go to a foreign country, you are black, sometimes you may have challenges. So I was worried of what challenges I would be having. But when I came here, I got totally the love the Japanese people have. It's really more than the normal one.
Majok trains with three other South Sudanese athletes, including 400-meter runner Akun Akun. He says training in Japan has helped him foster a sense of unity among fellow athletes.
So when we meet there, we make the friend. I can see them like my people, exactly. Because we meet in the one place when we are play one game. Thus, the game can unite people. Come from Europe, Africa, Asia, many places. That is can unite people. And when people unite, that is love and peace.
The South Sudanese athletes come from the world's youngest country. In 2013, 2 years after declaring their independence from Sudan, the country descended into a civil war that left an estimated 400,000 people dead and forced millions from their homes. And runner Abraham Ajok says because of his country's history of conflict, bringing home a message of peace is just as important as winning a gold medal.
Well, you know, Olympic, according to my own understanding, is a game of peace. And it happens because the world is at peace. People are able to come and, you know, celebrate and have fun together, enjoy life. And now as an athlete from a country that is still not having full peace, and I have come this way, I've seen the advantages of peace in other countries, and I'll be able to interact with other countries which once were at war and now they're having peace, and I'll be able to get the advantages of peace. And when I get back, the message I will have is the importance of peace. And that's the biggest message I would send to my people.
The South Sudanese athletes will represent their country at the upcoming Summer Olympics for only a second time. South Sudan made its first ever appearance in 2016 at the Rio Games. However, a South Sudanese athlete has yet to bring home a medal. But this could be the year, so stay tuned. And that's all from me for now. Sunny, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. And I think it would be thrilling indeed to see South Sudan win an Olympic medal in Tokyo. But even if they don't win a medal, as we heard from those South Sudanese athletes in Gwen's report, I think they're a great symbol of peace at the biggest international sporting event in the world. Taking a look at the last Olympics held in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil in 2016, Kenya was the top performing African team. The Kenyans won 13 medals, including 6 gold. All of them came in athletics. And I know this proud Kenyan is hoping Team Kenya can top that total in Tokyo.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Team South Africa tallied the second most medals among African countries at the 2016 Olympics in Brazil. The South Africans went home with 10 medals, including 2 gold.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
Listen to VOA's program lineup live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcast. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed, voanews.com.
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And if our Voice of America listeners check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page on this Thursday, they'll see an interesting article on Uganda-born Blessed Mbogo, who plays high school basketball right here in the Washington area. Blessed plays for Rockville High School. He's deaf. And Blessed says in the article, "I feel like I have to represent the deaf community." So check out that article on Blessed Mbogo, born in Uganda. He's deaf. And he says he hopes to play college basketball. He would be one of the few deaf players at the Division I collegiate level if he makes it that far. We wish him well. And that wraps up the February 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my producer, Mukbil Yabaro. Thanks also to VOA engineer Patrick Dea. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all, and it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
This is Science in a Minute.
The European Space Agency's new solar orbiter is being readied for a planned February 9th launch from Cape Canaveral in Florida. Its mission, a collaboration between the ESA and NASA, includes making close-up observations of the Sun from high latitudes, which will allow the spacecraft to snap the first-ever photos of the Sun's polar regions. At its closest approach, the spacecraft is expected to come within 42 million kilometers of the Sun's surface. The spacecraft has 10 state-of-the-art instruments that will capture high-resolution images of the Sun and its outer atmosphere, called the corona, as well as measure its magnetic field and the solar wind. ESA says the solar orbiter's mission will provide unique insight into how the Sun works within its 11-year solar cycle and how it might be possible to produce more accurate space weather forecasts. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
Hi, this is Larry London inviting you to join me on February 14th for Border Crossings Presents Urban Chart Legends. Some of the biggest names in urban music, jazz, R&B, hip-hop. It's all on one program on one day, February 14th. Michael Jackson, Kendrick Lamar, James Brown, and many more. Tune us in starting at 1500 Universal right here on The Voice of America.